Okay, welcome back. Hope your day was better than many in the South. And if it wasn't, make tomorrow a better one. It's up to you. Most of us don't have catastrophe to deal with. And we've learned a lot, I hope, in the last week. Not the least of which is it's time to wake up. If we don't wake up now, folks, it's over. There is an amazing story, one of the great mysteries, not only of these United States, but mysteries of our time and perhaps of all time. And it is wrapped up in the legacy called the Coral Castle in Florida. It's an extraordinary story. And for openers, if all of you online can do this, go to my website and click on my guest's name, John DePue. Go to his website, and at the top of his homepage, you'll see a link which says Coral Castle Code. And I'd like you to load that up, if you will. It'll take a minute or two. It's a lengthy page, beautifully put together. And what we're going to do tonight is, in essence, solve a mystery that has been lurking for well over half a century. And in the larger picture of things, it has been lurking since the Great Pyramid was built, and other great architectural marvels in the old world, around the world. This is a big story about a little man in Florida, and an even bigger man now, John DePue, than he was last time he was on the program, in terms of his incredible perseverance, his brilliant insights, and his discovery of the secret, apparently, or at least a big part of it, that allowed Ed Leedskalner to do things of a superhuman nature, things that no single mortal man could ever do without having figured something absolutely awesome out, which Leedskalner did. So let's see if John is there now and welcome him back. Hello, John.
Hello. How are you, Jeff?
Good, thank you. Good, very good.
Good to hear.
How many years have you been working on this Coral Castle mystery?
Oh, it's probably been about 15 years.
15. And what got you started on it?
Compulsion, I suppose. It's really a long story. I knew there was something there, and I didn't want to stop until I found it.
Something, yeah. Something huge.
Yeah, it gets bigger every day, actually.
There are 2,310 Google hits for Coral Castle.
Wow.
There are a lot of them. And I think I'm really proud of our guests over the years. I've been talking about this for over 10, well, almost 12 years now on the program, off and on. If you can get some time, folks, also, do some research on the Coral Castle yourself. Look at the pictures. You've got some pictures on your site, too.
Yeah, not too many of the castle itself.
Right. The castle is not one edifice. It's a number of objects. If you had visited the Coral Castle about 60 years ago, you would have no doubt been greeted enthusiastically by a little man weighing a mere 100 pounds and just barely cracking the 5-foot-tall barrier. He would have asked you for 10 cents admission, and then he would have introduced you to his fantasy world carved out of stone. And as you moved around his rock garden and the significance of each piece was explained to you, you could not help but notice the great pride Ed Leedskalner took in his magnificent work. Since it's documented that no one ever witnessed Ed's labor in building his rock gate park, some say he had supernatural powers. Ed would only say that he knew the secrets used to build the ancient pyramids, and if he could learn them, you could too. Today, anybody who wants to can leisurely tour the Coral Castle via a 30-minute state-of-the-art audio tour. You can hear the story, you can see pictures on the internet. As I said, there are many, many websites, and the works that Ed created were marvelous. So, John, when you saw this, you didn't see it online probably at first, but where did you see it at first, come to think of it?
Is one in the information you're talking about?
Yeah.
I heard about it through a friend about the castle, and I went down to visit it, and that's when I got the pamphlets and stuff. And yep. That's what started.
When you went down there and you walked around, was it made clear to you that no one knew how he did it during that tour, or was it just kind of a strange exhibit that people went to see? How much information was there?
I went there, there wasn't anybody there, really. It was pretty empty.
That's what I've heard. It just is sort of there.
Yeah, which I preferred anyway, because I'm, you know, I'm that way.
So. Right.
It was amazing, really, you know, the size of the block. There's this, you know, when you're standing next to them, you really appreciate how huge they are.
Right. They are huge.
Yeah.
They're made of what kind of material? Are they all the same?
Coral limestone. Well, some of the pieces were from his first original gardener, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
And he had them shipped over to this, to newer location.
He packed up and moved, basically.
Yeah, not all of it, just some of his key pieces.
Right.
And those are different as far as the style of stone or coral.
Uh-huh. Tell us who Ed Leedskelman was. I mean, many of our listeners know, but there are a lot of new folks out there who don't.
Well, I can't do it justice like you can. You have such an elegant speaking voice. You'd probably be better at it than I would.
Oh, well, I don't know about that. He was an immigrant.
Yes.
And allegedly, he was jilted by a young girl who refused to marry him and so forth. It's hard to know what the real motive was for it. That was may have been some PR that he was...
Yeah, I don't buy into that part of it, really.
Right.
Especially now.
Right. Well, especially what you know now, indeed, and what we're going to explain a little bit later. And what we will be explaining is something that has haunted scientists, soothsayers, and laymen alike for over 60 years now. It's located in Homestead, Florida, and without question, one of the most amazing structures ever built. In terms of accomplishment, it's been composed of, as you heard John say, huge pieces of rock. Some people compare it to Stonehenge, to ancient Greek temples, and even the pyramids of Egypt on a micro scale. It's amazing no matter how you look at it. Leedskelman's choice of building materials is what makes his undertaking so astonishing. They were, as you heard John say, huge blocks of coral rock, some weighing as much as, now get this, 30 tons, okay? 30 tons. What, an average automobile weighs, what, 2,000 to 3,000 pounds? Something like that, John?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, so figure 30 cars. Now, he's 25 cars.
Yeah,
the guy's moving.
Yeah,
the little guy's moving pieces of rock that weigh as much as 25 automobiles. How'd he do it? Nobody knew until John DePue came along. Now we think we do know.
And that was more mind-boggling than before.
yeah, indeed. Yeah. But the story is he did all this, of course, because he was jilted, but that nobody really who studies him buys that anymore.
Yeah.
We just don't seem to understand that this man, through his own genius, was able to figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, super genius. Because, you know, I got a computer that I'm working with to figure a lot of it out. I don't know how he either it was passed down to him or he just really, you know, was beyond smart.
Well, I could have been a Nikola Tesla type, you know? Someone who was really far, not only ahead of his time, but
maybe
ahead of this dimension.
Oh, it's amazing. When you get into the brilliance that's written into the code itself, like I said, it's mind-boggling. I have trouble even talking about it. It's so deep that you don't really know where to begin, you know?
Right. The page you've put together is beautiful.
Oh, thanks. A little bit overdone as far as the pictures I've heard. It doesn't load too fast, but I'm not really...
No, it just takes a minute to load up. It's fine. We're going to look at an image as we kind of walk through this, and it is an absolutely gorgeous image called the Flower of Life. It's called several things. What are some of the names and concepts that
which people, image are you referring to?
Well, just take any one you want. It's the totality.
I could just start at the beginning if you want. You can get a good base understanding of what we're talking about here.
Okay, we'll do that. Let's look at the top. Now, all of you, again, if you can, just go to John DePue's page. Look at the top. Coral Castle Code. Load that page. And we're going to take a walk through that now with John and how he did this. Before we go any further, though, let's mention the book. It's important. He did write a book.
Right.
He left it behind. And he didn't, in the book, exactly tell anybody anything about how he did it. I mean, he didn't disclose the whole secret.
Right. Definitely was in a roundabout way.
He left an enigma.
Uh-huh.
He left many enigmas, come think of it.
But he did leave the secret on the cover.
Now, that's the part that's just... It's, you remember, folks, Hidden in Plain View, okay? Just remember that when we come back. We're going to take a break, come back with John DePue, who, in my honestly humble opinion, deserves some kind of recognition for his own brilliance. The man has solved what may be the most enigmatic mystery of all time, and that's how the ancients moved enormous pieces of perfectly cut stone over distance and placed them exactly together. We'll be right back. Talking with John DePue. I want you to remember that name. This man is just amazing what he's done. Coral Castle Code. The Coral Castle Code. Let's just kind of walk through these beautiful pictures and illustrations. Number one, John, let me just read the caption. It says under number one, if you're not looking, you have no excuses from here. It's right here in front of your face. Time to wake up. I'll bet 80% of you are saying, oh, gee, what a pretty cup. It's become truly a shameful level of ignorance at this point. So now you have a chance to make it right. And then number two, this is the most simplified way I could try to wake you all up. I hope you do soon. I can now clearly see Ed Leedskalnin must have been frustrated beyond belief. I'm really getting there myself. But these pictures, and each one can be clicked upon and looked at, and I would urge all of you to let's click on number one and look at this gorgeous image.
Now, what do you see in that?
What do I see in it? Well, I see the two, what do you call them? It's kind of like a scroll mark wrapped around the four sides of the cup. And then behind it, I see hundreds of the same scroll marks interconnected and forming an absolutely exquisitely perfect universal concept.
That's actually just a slice of what's really there. It's actually a three-dimensional code.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all you'd have to do is rotate it around and it would fit together perfectly.
I see.
What other special cup have you heard of in history?
The chalice?
Uh-huh. And why would they call it that?
Hmm. I see where you're going.
That's what that picture is supposed to kick into people, but...
Mm-hmm. Well, that's okay.
That's what I believe it is. I believe it is the Holy Grail.
Could be.
And I believe the Holy Grail really is the mathematical formula for creation. And this is that, but in a visual form.
Well, that would be the perfect Holy Grail. Let's take all this club stuff and throw it out and talk about true universal...
Right. Is there anything more important than that? You know, is there a bigger treasure than that?
No.
Right.
None. So look on down at number two and click on that. Or I should say 1A, to be precise. DNA. The Holy Grail is the Coral Castle Code. So describe that to us, if you would, John.
Well, that's a simplified layout just to show the energy distribution within the pattern. That's not me painting that in. That's actually using the code on the cover of the book without manipulating it in any way except laying it out and making the connections, the north and south connections.
It's perfect.
Exactly. But it's not just perfect for DNA. It's perfect for everything.
It's perfect for everything.
Everything's held together by this principle.
At what level is that? Are we talking subatomic? Where are we?
Anything that binds like together, science. Anything that forms into anything. What is forming it? What is holding it together?
Mm-hmm.
It's the two magnetic currents. And the neutral particles of matter, they orbit as a common core.
Is there such a thing as gravity?
Well, yeah, it's an effect of the same principle.
There's
only three things that make everything.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. There's only three things.
Yeah. Three things that make everything: North Pole magnets, South Pole magnets, and the neutral particles of matter that they orbit as a common core, which is also known as sunlight. Light is just an obstruction of magnetic current.
Light is just an obstruction of magnetic
right.
current.
If the Earth was where the sun is, it would be a sun also. The sun is blocking a stream of concentrated magnetic currents from the center of our galaxy.
Okay.
And that's why it's ignited.
All right, understand. Let's go down now to figure 24 and 25. This is an image. These are images of the cover of Ed's book. His only book?
No, he has three of them. One is A Book in Every Home, which is like political and family views. Mm-hmm. And one is Vegetable, Animal, and Mineral Life. It's actually Mineral, Vegetable, and Animal Life.
He was a moral man, wasn't he?
I don't know if that's the right word, but he had his own beliefs about it, and I don't think he liked following other people's,
Well, morality doesn't have to conform to any universally accepted code. It can be, he's a moral man in his own right. But
I liked what he had to say.
Yeah. All right, so you bought a copy of this book, Magnetic Current, first. When did you get a copy of it?
Oh, that was when I first visited there.
They were for sale, so you picked one up.
Yeah, and I had it for years. I mean, I looked at it for years. I've read it so many times I can't tell you. And I was really getting to the point where I just was about to give up. And I was running some of my own experiments, and I saw something that gave me an idea to try, and I tried it, and it panned out to be way bigger than I ever thought.
Don't tell anyone where it is now. Okay, look at the front cover of the book, all right? Magnetic Current. Click on 24. There's the cover of Ed Leeds Gallen's book. Very simple. Little art on the front there. Magnetic Current by Edward Leeds Gallen. Rock 8. And then click on 25. When did the lights go on, John? Do you remember the day?
I don't remember the actual date, but I do remember, the moment, you might say.
Okay.
It was a real slap in my face.
Keep in mind, well, it's okay. We like those kind of slaps.
Yeah, that was a good one.
John DePue read this book scores of times, as have countless scientists around the world for 60 years, trying to figure out what Ed told us in the book, in the pages. What clues were hidden in the pages? What was he referencing? What was he really talking about? He was never specific. Until one day when John DePue looked at the cover and a flash of inspiration hit him, slapped him in the face, as it was. We'll be right back. This is a great discovery in just a minute. Okay, so hopefully you've scrolled down on that page, and we're looking at item 24, and if you did just join us late, it's the Coral Castle Code page. So go down to item 24, and that's Ed Leeds Gallen's book cover. I can't even imagine how many people have read that book over the years. Scientists who are brilliant in physics and all kinds of different disciplines trying to figure it out. No one could do it. What happened on the day? You don't remember the day, but what happened with that book cover that clicked? What do you remember?
Well, it was one of my vortex gear experiments, the machine that I made that I showed you before.
Yeah.
There were certain elements to that that gave me a clue that I said, could it be? And, that's how I thought of it, because I remember those two squiggly lines, because just recently I was thinking, they got to mean something, because at first, for the longest time, I thought they were just part of the, the publisher's design. I didn't even click that they were, part of his message.
Right, just a little scroll work on the cover to take up the space under the title.
Yeah,
right.
And so that's when I started playing around with it. I'm a graphic artist anyway, so I understand geometry, and I never even would have known what it was if I didn't do all the research throughout all those years of going through all these ancient manuscripts and, all that kind of stuff. Filling my brain with all of it. And there's a common theme, and this was the common theme. Once I unraveled it, I realized what it was. If I wouldn't have done that, I wouldn't have even known what it was or even thought about doing it. But it's grown into something so huge that it goes way past my level of even, comprehension.
Wow. Let's look at that book cover. Now, you see the two little squiggle, look like S's almost back to back. It's a very elegant, simple design. That was the key. Ed put it right on the cover. Nobody saw it. Nobody figured it out. Yeah, little design, okay. They went right onto the text. How close does the text come to revealing the secret?
Nothing compared to the two squiggly lines.
Nothing. Okay, interesting. He was a very, very... I think the guy either had a sense of humor or he was throwing a challenge out at mankind.
Yeah, it could be both.
Yeah.
Sure. But the intelligence involved in understanding these principles, it's just unbelievable.
I hear your mind racing.
Yeah, I have trouble even talking about it, really.
I understand. It's okay. You're doing fine. Let's look at item 26 and double-click on that, enlarge it.
That's when I decided to look at them as like circuits and just make the connections. So I color-coded them first, then I went on connecting them, north, south, consider the blue the north and red south if you want.
Okay, so the blue and the red would be attracted to each other.
If they're running against each other.
Correct.
They run the same speed with each other, they don't have any attraction for each other.
Ah. When you say run the same speed, what does that mean?
Just if they're running in the same direction at the same speed in a whirling right-hand twist, like a vortex motion.
Okay.
When they're running against each other in that same motion, that's when they have the attraction. I'm just I'm quoting Ed on that.
Okay, all right. Now, when you're talking about whirling, Ed left... Yeah, his tools were all there, apparently, what he used to do this. And one of them was... Do we have a picture of that the big wheel on the ground?
On this site? It's on a different page on this site.
Okay, I want to see that if we can. I think it's very important.
My experiments at the top, you see it in the navigator bar, you'll be able to jump over to it.
Okay, let's go to the back page to his home page, and you'll see CCC physical experiments.
Yeah.
All right, now I want you to go there. That's the second link at the top of the page from the left. John's physical CCC experiments. Now, when that page is loaded, and it's loading slowly too, because there's many images on it. But the very top image, the first one, let me just read you what John has written here. Now you are all ready to look at Ed Leeds-Gelman's supposed simple AC generator and do so in a different way, right? Sure, it can make AC currents, but is anybody trying to measure the negative currents it's producing? And realize there is a correct way both forces can run through a wire without resistance. It's called superconductivity. The answer is no, because all the testing equipment is always one-sided. I hope you physicists and electricians get together and look at the wheel as a supplier of both magnetic currents, both of them. Measure the positive and the negative currents, and then think how that multidirectional electromotive life force that runs through all centers could be used to run energy to your loads. Physicists and electricians are playing with two halves of the same whole, the flower of life among many other titles. So let's look at that first one. It's number 103, and just click on that. Double click, and you'll see a picture of Ed with his hand on a circular wheel. There's one like a bar sticking up. He's grabbing that, and that enabled him to turn this wheel. Describe what that wheel was like.
It's a magnetic wheel.
What's it made of?
It's made of iron and concrete.
Okay. Concrete and iron, that's it.
Yeah. So the design of it totally complements this code to unravel.
Okay. And that wheel is connected to a shaft that went into the ground?
That's right.
How far down?
I don't know beyond the level of the floor, but there's water 6 feet under the whole complex.
So 3-4 feet maybe.
Yeah. It might go all the way down to the water.
Could be. Do we know what the shaft is made of? Same thing?
That's actually an old automobile crankshaft.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. It's a brilliant design, actually, for all homemade, throwing it all together.
Unreal. And all right, so what Ed would do would crank that thing round and round and round, okay? Just all of you just keep that in mind. And there are some chains up above, too. What were they used for?
That is part of the whole process. He didn't move that around or anything. That's the permanent fixture there.
Uh-huh.
I believe it's to store capacitance and I think he created a large orbit and knew how to send out that orbit in a whole form and broken form to do different types of work.
So those chains up there were basically storage units.
I think he used the iron to hold the magnet.
Huh.
But that pipe next to the wheel is very important. That's connecting the ground to that mass of iron.
The horizontal pipe.
And there was also a mass of iron that was on the roof of the whole tower there, but it's been removed since then, so I've never got a good look at it. I just saw it in an old aerial picture.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Wonder who took it off.
I don't know. I guess maybe they had a leak there or something.
That's an interesting explanation. We could be conspiratorial if we wanted to, I guess.
Yeah, that too.
Okay, so we'll look more at the wheel when we continue. I'll take a break. Next picture is 104, so go ahead and click on that one and preview that. It's a vertical shot down at Ed Leedskalnin's wheel with the handle in the center of it. You can take a good look at it that way. And look at the next picture, 105, which shows laying right over it, the perfect overlay. Those same squiggles, if you will, S's, that you saw on the cover of the book. And look how they interface with each other. All right, be right back with John DePugh. See how to best approach this. Okay, what we'll do is take a look at 104, 105, 106, and we're going to go back to the first page.
Okay,
John, 104 is a vertical shot of the wheel, the Leedskalnin wheel, which again is concrete and iron, and he made it himself. There's a shaft there that goes straight down into the ground under the center of it. We don't know how far. Four,
he
five,
didn't move
six.
It around.
All right. Did you try to turn the wheel?
Yeah, I turned.
Hard?
I turned, no, not really. Harder than I thought.
Deal. Okay.
But it's pretty, rusty and stuff now, too, so no one's really taking care of it or anything.
Right. So it's only the most important thing on the planet.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. It's still, people still don't see it. I mean, I got 300 pictures of it.
Well, they're seeing it now. Okay, so there's the first picture. So take a look, that's the wheel. Now, let's go on down to 105.
Well, before you do that, look at 104. You see that four-leaf clover pattern that's on top?
Yep.
That's built into the code also.
Uh-huh.
This whole wheel is designed with this knowledge that unraveled in those two magnetic curves.
Okay.
Just so people know.
Very good. All right. 105. That's the next one down. And what you'll see is an overlay on top of the wheel. You describe it, John.
This is a simple overlay. That's when I first thought about it, seeing how they worked out on there. You can do it different ways, but it proved the principles of the wheel being exactly designed with the understanding of the what
Well, it showed that the front of the book was, in fact, the key.
Right.
That those two squiggles...
But not just the key. It's the mathematical formula for creation, for all of creation, but in a visual formula.
Wow.
It's that simple. That's why I like to just say that over and over, because that is the bottom line, and that way people don't miss it, because it's amazing. You can say that to people a couple of times, and they still miss it.
No, you can't. The average person, it's too...
They don't want to see it, I guess. I don't know.
Well, it's not that. It's wrapping your mind around more than day-to-day existence now is hard for most people. But just, you're getting through to a lot of folks. And the more they study this and think about it, the more it does become clear.
If they work with it, they really will.
Right.
That's really the only way to really see it.
Exactly. Now, you can't just bang, take it, unless you're extraordinary and got a background in physics and an open mind. Okay, so you see how it fits in the wheel there. The same two squiggles opposing each other all the way around. They fit perfectly. So let's look now at 105. We did look at 105. And why the magnetic compass points?
I just did that for my own reference. You know, that's the way it is in the room there.
Okay.
You know, if you're looking down at it, that's the way it would be in the room, looking down at it from that angle.
I'm going to go one more to 106 to give you an idea of how these two little lines are just amazing. We've done this program before.
And the truth is, this isn't even the amazing part. The amazing part is when you start getting into what unravels in the code itself.
Yeah. Well, we'll.
I don't even think we could.
We'll just get to as far as we can. We've got another hour and 15 minutes, but...
Yeah.
So you see in the next image more applications of these same two lines, and how, look what they do in the center. Look at the curled ends of them, what they do.
That's what they do with molecular structures also. That's how things bind together and form into independent magnetic structures that combine with other ones. And you know.
All right, let's go. I want to go back to the Coral Castle code, which is the first page we were on.
Okay.
That starts out with image number 1, 1A, 1B. Where do you want to start?
Well, are you familiar with sacred geometry?
Yeah, a little.
All right, so you know what squaring the circle is, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, we'll go down to, I'll give you a perfect example of squaring the circle with two magnets.
Okay.
So go down to image 20.
On the way down, I just want to stop. The beauty of this is as it continues to accumulate, it becomes more and more fascinating.
Yeah.
Look at 1C, everyone who's online. You see? Look at that.
Yeah, that's another thing. There's not electrons. What people think are electrons are really both magnets. And Ed describes a perfect, simple...
Say that again.
There are no electrons as presently perceived. Electrons are really both magnets. And you can prove it with a simple experiment that's in my summary section. You can go back to it later. I describe it in there. But it's Ed's little experiment to prove to everybody that it's not an electron.
All right. 1C, let's go down.
Go down to 1B. I want you to sit inside here for a second. Look in.
One which?
1D, the next one down.
Okay, the very next one, 1D.
Now, you saw that DNA structure, right? The sphere that's above 1B. This is sitting in the center of a structure like that. It's not that particular structure, but it's what it's like sitting in the core.
Oh, my.
Isn't it interesting? This is the base of duality.
Uh-huh.
This energy.
Fascinating.
Isn't that interesting? I mean,
it's more than interesting.
Have you ever gotten to sit in there before?
No. No. Now, for our listeners... What we're looking at inside of an item, are these items all over the place then? This is one individual item,
this,
right?
Yeah, this is before it even forms into a living, like this is the first structure that develops before it grows and connects with other structures of similar design.
Okay, this is the building block structure.
So this picture is sitting in the center, the core of one of these magnetic structures. It's a little bit distorted because I had to use a 360 view camera, and so it stretched it out.
Okay,
a
little bit. Okay, so 1C above that is the structure.
1C is a structure. That's not this particular structure.
Okay, 1D is another one. But
1B is a different one. There's a lot of different ones.
All right, okay. Very good. All right. So now go down to I can't pass these up. I'm sorry.
That's
number
okay.
Number three. Look at number three. And what do you see, folks? The same two lines. Over and over, and look how they built. Okay?
This is the basis of the Mayan calendar, also.
I've seen that before.
Yeah.
It is the same, they have the same lines, don't they?
Yeah, it's
they knew.
Yeah, they did. Right.
Okay, I have seen these on the Mayan calendar. All right. Number four. Now look at it dense, look how dense. Lead Scalina knew all this. The man would lay there and this would be in his mind, perfectly clear. And then some.
Yeah,
way,
how did
way
he
more.
Figure this out? Or,
I don't know. Well, he's gifted. How did Tesla do what he did?
It's amazing.
You know? Okay, look at four, then look at five. Those are multiples of four.
Mm-hmm. And they see, this is making every connection. I'm not just making pretty pictures at all. These are blueprints. I'm considering those two squiggly lines like circuits. And I just connect them one by one. This is what they build into, and there's so much written into these into this whole pattern that I can't tell you with words. As they combine, picture these as, you know, patterns that connect to form like your skin, okay?
Right.
As they connect, they have built-in failure fixtures. So as you skims across the other one, you can see where they have another chance to connect and have a perfect communication with the other center.
Pick
That's how
right
they
up,
communicate.
Carry right on.
Center. It's mind-boggling.
Now, DNA would be made of something similar.
Right. I look at it as, like, if you go up back up to 1B, that would be, like, the first stage of DNA before it's not a strand form in that form. It's just it's what builds the strand.
Okay. That's what builds the strand.
Right. So what builds every structure are these two magnetic currents. Every single structure.
And they're flowing continually?
Right.
Back
through
and
everything.
Forth. Back and forth. It make a circuit, right? A closed circuit.
That's why they're represented as serpents in history. So
oh.
The medical symbol, that's the representation of two
yeah,
magnetic currents.
Yeah, but the doctors don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, and that staff is really representing the neutral particles of matter. That's what sunlight is.
Ah. Okay. All right, let's scroll on down. Where do you want to go to? 20, was it?
You skim through some of the ancient pictures that show that they knew, or...
Yeah, so let's look at that.
That's like right, coming right up.
Number seven,
nine.
The Secrets of Solomon.
Yeah.
Eight, well, let's look at the sword.
Okay.
What's on the sword? Oh, is that engraved all up and down the
yeah.
blade?
Yeah.
The same thing?
It's what the Knights of Templar are guarding, or were guarding. It's the Holy Grail. People don't like that, but it's the truth.
It's on the blade.
It's the cup. It's the biggest secret.
Okay, number eight.
That is an ancient Celtic version of Sweet 16.
No, it sure is.
If you look at the very center, that ring goes right around the red center, and count those little peaks in the valleys, you'll get the same as Ed's sun door.
Well, just a coincidence.
Yeah.
All right. Number nine.
Number nine is just like, I wanted to show in one picture, you know, a bunch of different aspects that all represent these two currents.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of different cultures.
Now, the two currents, they're magnetic currents.
Yes.
Are they running in a closed loop then through one?
They can only run against each other and with each other. They need each other to run. They can't run by themselves.
Okay.
And they orbit their common core, which is the neutral particle.
Gotcha.
That's why in the center of a galaxy, it's ignited like that. That's neutral particles obstructing magnetic current. So, if there aren't any neutral particles left in the center, what would you have? You'd have a black hole.
Sure would.
Because there's nothing obstructing the current to make light.
Okay, while we're away, take a look at some more of the pictures, ancient history. Again, John has created an absolutely unforgettable journey with these pages of his. So
this is just the beginning.
I understand. Is the world ready for this? They, they who control us know this. They've known it for a long time. It's the ultimate knowledge. Do they want us to have it? No. Do we have it now? Yes. Thanks to you. Okay, when we come back, we'll look at some more of these magnificent images, all again from those two little lions on the cover of Ed Leedskalman's Magnetic Current book. With us during the first hour. This is not only beautiful, but it's mind-boggling, is what it is. John DePue is my guest. He has unlocked the secret that Ed Leedskalman left. And before Ed, certainly those who built the great pyramids of Egypt and who went on to build other great monolithic structures around the world from huge pieces of stone, granite, you name it, that just couldn't be moved. And this is just a part of it. Ed left the secret right on the cover of his book, which was read again by thousands upon thousands of people for decades. John DePue has figured it out, at least a lot of it. Okay, John, where are we here? Which do you want to look at next?
Well, you were at, what, 9 before?
9, I guess, let's see. John's experiments, we were back on 25.
We were on the first.
Yeah, we're on the first one, which is the Coral Castle Code.
Yeah.
Okay, 9A, look at 9. Look at 10.
Those are all examples that the ancients knew.
Certainly suggestions that they had an idea.
Oh, yeah, I was beyond that when you really look at it. Definitely,
right.
They know. Another interesting.
What's it?
I'm
go
sorry,
ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you're first. You're the guest.
Another interesting piece, a little bit farther down, 16, 15, 16, and 17, 18. They that is ancient Egyptian artwork. Well, it's supposed to be, but you know, since I knew what all this was, I recognized what that was, and that's actually a template for understanding grid and how the energy moves.
Really?
Yeah, if you look at it, you'll see. It matches this code. Also.
Well, look under the eyes. If those are eyes. On
the casket, yeah.
Yeah. Number 15.
Yeah.
It's the two lines.
Uh-huh.
Now, wait a minute. Let me think. You know the image of the Egyptian holding the device with the cord?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Okay, is that figuring into this as well?
Well, that's, you know, figuring into the knowledge, for sure.
Right. It's just an outcropping
right.
of it. Okay.
What I think this, the ancient artwork here, it's actually, you know, someone took from ancient Egyptian borders. It's really a training template, as far as I'm concerned,
okay.
for understanding energy as base form,
mm-hmm.
which is this. If you really look at that, if you see those vortexes and the mm-hmm. the way the blue and the red flow.
Yep.
And if you look at those color code squares, the lines.
Those aren't accidents.
Yeah, and now look at 18. You'll see, I roughly ran some lines across grid formations across those. And on a different page, I have this code and that, you know, back to back, so you can see how they are really mm-hmm. beyond similar.
Mm-hmm.
That's on the last page of this site, which is the 3D images, multi-versions.
Okay, 18A and 19 are Ed's?
No, that's from an ancient book.
Another book?
That falls into the same grid knowledge.
Okay.
It's all through the ancient texts.
Is this to say that all the ancients were utilizing this power source, or just were aware of it?
Well, I think it started out they were utilizing it, and then it got broken down to where some were utilizing it, and some were just they knew some parts of it, and just got broken up into pieces.
Sure.
Pi, the mathematical formulas of pi are all representing magnetic current. That's part of this lost science. People don't realize that still. All of these patterns are perfect pi.
Okay.
The pyramids are based on pi. Pi is a representation of magnetic current. That's crucial to remember.
Pi is a representation of magnetic current.
Right. And all, it's the mathematical formula for all of creation. Duality. That's what duality is based on, are these formulas. The formula that's hidden within these two simple curves.
Number 23, again, we're back to the two streams of currents. Now, for our listeners, positive current left, negative current right. How is the current coursing through, say, the negative side? Is it moving directionally, or is it just emanating?
All currents are alternating. Even direct currents are alternating in some way.
Okay, so let's give an example. Would the positive be plus, the negative is minus. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Is that what they're doing?
Yeah, different frequencies. Yeah, they need each other to run.
Okay.
It cannot move without.
So just
it.
In proximity, though, in that form, just by being next to each other, there's something, an interchange, something reactive that's happening, and it's creating a current.
Right, well, they're both orbiting a common core, and that's the neutral particles of sunlight.
Gotcha.
Right, and that's that straight line that runs through the center.
Mm-hmm.
This code breaks into it opens up into an intelligence that I can't even express.
Well, it's almost superhuman.
It's divine.
Yeah,
it is.
Right.
That's why I know it's the Holy Grail.
Right.
And just by the shape of it.
I can argue with you.
I know it sounds ridiculous, but
no,
one day people
will know. Doesn't sound ridiculous at all.
Look up at 20. You said you understood squaring the circle. Well, that's squaring the circle with two magnets.
Number 20.
Yeah. That's not I didn't make that a pretty picture, at all. I mean, I followed strictly connection to connection. I color-coded the tips on these gold so you would see where the neutral particles were.
Mm-hmm. Now, squaring the circle isn't really squaring it. It's just the way that these...
Well, this is just a flat slice. If you rotated this all the way around, you would have a sphere and a cube.
Okay. Gotcha.
Another good example would be figure 31.
All right, let's go on up to 31.
And now, look at this image. When you look at it, look into it and relax your eyes and sit back and look into it, and you'll see the circle and the square and this.
There it is, sure.
And every part of sacred geometry is written into this code.
Now, you have to look at that as a 360-degree, three-dimensional image, and you understand.
Exactly. I can automatically do that with the work that I do. That's, built into my personality.
Look at the whole of that is all composed of the two little squiggly lines.
And making connections, just like a circuit board.
That's right, that Lee Scalman wrote. Well, there's the universal...
Right. When you really look at it, you look into it, and you just see more and more and more. Then you go down to 33, and you see how they connect together in the same perfect divine way.
There are six of them.
Yeah, and that's just one connection. I mean, like I told you, there's built-in failure fixtures that they can combine different ways that will still make a uniform network of energy that can communicate with each other.
We talk about the vast emptiness of space. What's out there?
Magnets.
These?
Magnets and matter.
The whole thing.
That's what I think.
Makes sense.
Three things. Three separate things. And they interact with each other differently, and you get different results with those different interactions.
And the planets would be expressions of more densely packed.
They're the reunited particles of matter that are being orbited by the North Pole and South Pole magnets. The light, the sunlight, is just an obstruction of magnetic current. And then that's what releases the neutral particles, and then the magnets follow those neutral particles.
I think the easiest way to grasp this is just to follow these designs, all made of the two little lines, and how they perfectly, irrevocably, naturally.
I mean, have you ever seen anything more divine than that?
No, it's there couldn't be. 41?
Right.
Look at 41. Look at that.
Yeah, that's when they network into it, and then you can see how the grids work.
Yeah.
All communicating with each center.
Okay, now grids are very important. Apparently the universe is full of grids.
That's how it networks.
And Ed Leedskalnin knew how to use those grids to lift 30 tons of rock, one piece. This is a story many of you have heard, that when he was moving the Coral Castle from the first location to its current, he would have a trucker come up with a big lowboy or a flatbed and get out of the rig and take a walk. He told the guy to get lost for 15 minutes or something. And when the guy would come back, this 20, 10, 15 ton piece of coral rock or whatever would be on his truck. And there would this little 5 foot tall man be standing next to it saying, "Okay, take it down the road." It's all true. He knew how to tap into the grid. And he would apparently turn that wheel, John, to do what? When we come back, we'll find out how the wheel activated the grid, or charged it up, or
tuned it into it.
Tuned it in, yeah. Exactly, brought it into focus. This is just amazing. Back in just a couple of minutes with Mr. John DePue. Extraordinary program with John DePue. I would like all of you to go to John and his Physical CCC Experiments page, which is the second page again. We're going to spend some time on that page now, because his experiments illustrated here are just staggering. So John, let's move on down the page to the point at which we've looked at the top and Ed's wheel and so forth, to wherever you'd like to start. I want to show the work you've been doing and how what you've described is manifesting itself in your work.
Yeah, it's getting deeper and deeper also.
All right, so where do you want to start?
Well, I guess you could start with the wheel, the magnetic wheel there.
Okay, what number is it?
That would be 115.
All right, let's go to 115. John DePue, first magnetic wheel experiments. Okay, number 115, you can click on that and enlarge it. And there's John's wheel.
That's my first attempt at building something similar to what Ed had built. I wasn't sure what he did with his wiring, because it was all concreted in, so I had really no idea for sure what he did. So I just, after reading his book so many times, I took all that and compiled it with, other things I compiled through the years and put that together.
Okay. This wheel is all made of metal.
Yeah, it's actually just a bunch of junk parts that I kind of like did.
Well, if he used an auto crankshaft, then you can use this.
Yeah.
What an amazing man. Jeez. All right.
Oh, yeah, he really is.
So, number 116.
Hey, that was when I first started locking in these homemade vortex gears, what I call them, to a magnetic resonance. But they all lock in the tune with the field of the wheel.
Did the wheel spin?
No. Oh, the little ones? Yeah, the little ones.
Yeah, but the big one didn't.
No, I didn't spin it. I could spin it, but I didn't on these experiments, no.
Okay.
It's all stationary on these experiments, but
all right.
I have a lot more to do.
Okay, let's move forward then. You want to go to your second wheel?
Okay. You're down, you'll see the gears getting bigger, you know, I started designing larger ones. And
okay.
Each of these gears can be extended out in a network just like the code follows.
Oh. Okay, John DePue's second magnetic wheel, full scale. Look at this. Let's look at 136.
Yeah, I'm in the middle of building that now, so I don't want to jinx myself. I talk about it too much.
All right.
But it's exciting now.
Yeah.
Took me a long time to compile all that.
Okay, now show us some pictures of the effect that the...
Well, basically, envision a perpetual gyro that has no support or anything. No electrons floating around it.
Okay. And that's going to be a hard one for science to abandon.
Yeah, but I can prove it, and they can prove it for themselves real easy with that experiment. It's in my summary section if you want to jot it down before you or just pass it on to somebody else.
Okay, can we look at wonderful important?
Oh, the water. Want to get down to the water?
Sure.
Is that what you're talking about?
Well, yeah, whatever.
Okay, that was the water experiment. That was a big surprise. Also.
Okay, let's look at 139. Tell us what we're looking at.
Okay, that was water, plain water in a modified dish that I made responding to the field of my large wheel. And if you look at the pattern, it complements the code exactly.
Yeah.
And not just that. If you look at some really good galaxy pictures, I've seen some that match it, and it's right there on the money.
Oh. Okay, that's just water? How deep?
They don't just form into patterns. They rotate. Also.
They float.
Patterns rotate.
140.
And I had a physicist tell me that it wasn't actually rotating. It was just an illusion.
Yeah, yeah.
So I broke a little piece of paper and I dropped it in there and it went around and all in the patterns.
What did he say?
I never talked to him after that, so I don't know. they don't want to hear that kind of stuff.
No, they want to think about electrons.
I've been called delusional so many times that I don't even know if I am anymore.
Well,
it is possible I am delusional, so if I am and it turns out that way, I do apologize.
So was Ed Lead Scalman.
But it's interesting. I did learn some things dropping paper in there, actually, because what it does is it'll rotate around and it'll shoot it into the core and then back out into the outer bands and then back into the core and then back out into the outer bands, which was interesting. But if you go down farther, you'll see the negative images, which revealed a lot more than, you know, the other ones, because...
Okay, number 142.
Yeah, that was why I overlaid the pattern over top of it so you could see how it lines up.
And the complementary picture to that would be 141?
You mean the pattern itself? I'm not sure. I don't know.
Where does 142 you overlaid?
142 is one of the patterns that I had illustrated later on top of it.
Yeah. So you put that over the water?
Yeah. Because it was so close that I just wanted to illustrate how close it was. I should have wrote that there. I haven't gotten to that yet.
Oh, you'll get there. All right, 143, 144. Which one do we want to look at?
Yeah, those are all... You could look at 143. Those are all negative images of the same water pattern. But you can see the negative reveals a lot more of the structure aspect.
Wow.
It's actually really interesting to watch because they expand and contract as they move, very much like a snake.
Huh. Yeah, that's fascinating. All from two little lines.
Yeah, it's like I said. This is we're just skimming the surface. It gets so deep that you don't have enough time. Believe me.
Okay, pause and come right back. With John DePue, you physicists and scientists out there, I think should have a field day with us. I'm sure John would be more than happy. He's a very gracious man, as you can tell, to talk to you at any time about this. Okay, be right back. castle. Bruce Cathy, captain flying with National Airways of New Zealand, says the measurements from the Coral Castle position to the 0 degree and 90 degree longitude lines when they pass through the equator also yield harmonics related to light and gravity. The final check of the distance between Coral Castle and grid pole A in the north dispelled any doubt about the site being an ideal position to allow lead skeleton to erect the huge blocks of coral with relative ease. And our friend Chris Dunn, in an article called Coral Castle Mystery, said, what if there's no such thing as gravity, and the natural forces we already know about are sufficient to explain the noted phenomena we have labeled as gravity? Perhaps lead skeleton's means of working with the Earth's gravitational pull was nothing more complicated than devising a means by which the alignment of magnetic elements within his coral blocks was adjusted to face the streams of individual magnets he claims are issuing forth from the Earth with a like repelling pole. But what do you think happened? How did he do it? He turned the wheel and fine-tuned these grids?
Well, that was a good basic way to look at it. I believe superconductivity is what you would call it in present term, room temperature. Yes.
So what happened? How did he do it?
I've never lifted any multi-ton rocks. I don't have any to even attempt it at this point, but I believe it was superconductivity. I believe he knew how to run it through a wire without restriction. Whole forms of energy, whole orbits of energy,
mm-hmm.
and then make it superconductive to where he could lift them up. I don't believe he could lift them any other way than that.
So he did it with wires somehow?
I think he knew how to send it. Is it from reading his writings, he knew how to send his whole form through a wire mm-hmm. without restriction. He said science doesn't understand how it runs through a wire and what it really is.
And you think you do?
Do I?
Yeah.
I'm coming really close. But I do have a good understanding of what I believe he did, but I haven't achieved that myself. I haven't even tried to do that kind of thing.
He died in 1951.
Yes.
Would you like to try to eventually lift some heavy objects?
Yeah, but I have some other goals, like freedom.
Yeah, you might be getting into trouble by doing that, huh?
Yeah, well, what better reason?
Well, true enough.
Rather than get hit by a bus.
He'd probably really like to see your website.
Yeah, I wonder that sometimes, if he would or if he wouldn't. I try to do him justice because, I mean, he was just unsurpassed with his knowledge. Or I haven't found anybody that knows as much as he did about the base form of energy.
Okay, let's look at...
Let me show you something while you're in the water pictures.
Yeah.
Go down to 159 and 160.
159 and 160.
Yeah, look at the... This is where I tuned in a pattern, and then I modified the tuning, and I was creating patterns that were riding on top of the existing patterns without disturbing the existing patterns, and it had a really, really strange effect psychologically to watch them because they just float over top, almost like a mirage, if that makes any sense. But
floating around, you mean?
Yeah,
around?
But the way they do, I've never seen anything like it. It's very, it plays tricks on your mind when you see it, you know, in action.
Mm-hmm. 159,
really interesting. I don't know where that would lead, but it's beyond interesting.
Hmm.
So you can layer these frequency patterns, magnetic patterns, on top of each other without disturbing the underlying patterns.
You have no problem understanding how the weather could be manipulated easily.
Oh, yeah. I believe it probably already is.
Yeah. So do we.
Which is sad.
They could spin any big mass of moisture into a storm and potentially guide it with
or
this
stimulate,
kind of...
Yeah. Stimulate something that's already going on.
Right, sure. Intensify it, direct it.
It's, I'm not real technical, but I have, you know, faith. Because a hurricane is, you know, is exactly this.
It's a great big object which could be moved. That's the theory. Directed, pushed, amped up, revved up, calmed down?
Manipulated, yeah.
Okay.
But these water patterns, they also are very reflective of, if you look at nano people, of the work that they're doing, documenting behaviors very much fall into, like, the picture you see at 160. It's almost an exact representation of what they displayed. At a base level, you know, with their equipment.
That's nanotechnology. Do we have
a... They should really focus on this because this is the answer they're looking for.
Douglas Mulhall will be on tomorrow night to do our periodic nanotechnology report, and I'll make sure that I direct him to your site immediately.
Tell him to look at the curves as two strings and maybe he'll have a better understanding.
He may click on it. We'll see.
Two vibrating strings. Mm-hmm. He'd probably understand it more in his...
Okay, moving forward.
Yeah, that's when I learned how to send it through a wire my own way. I didn't follow anything Ed taught me in that. It's my own experimentation. Most of these experiments are my own. They're just I've read his book so many times that I just went off on my own path, basically, you know.
Right. Okay, 163, real important.
Yeah, that's that's a small scale experiment with a piece of coral and water underneath. So I wanted to see when exactly the patterns form, as you know, to where the rock would start vibrating and floating around, which it does in the vibration.
Okay, now what you see is a rock in the center of the wheel.
The center of a little dish that I had
dish,
made,
and then there's
yeah.
water in the dish.
Yeah.
And that's what's making the herringbone-like pattern.
Yeah.
And then that's not a piece of fried chicken.
No.
It's a rock, piece of coral.
Yeah.
How big?
Not too big, about the size. It fit in the palm of your hand.
Okay. And what happened to that rock?
It'll just float, not float in the air, so to speak, but it becomes pretty much weightless. It floats around, not even making much noise at all. Very, very subtle, nice, smooth, in-tune vibration. And it does that exactly when the patterns in the water form. For example, if a car goes by your house with a loud stereo and your coffee mug is vibrating and moves across the table a little bit, there's actually a pattern there. You just don't see it. The water allows you to see it. So it's with anything that's vibrating will simulate that pattern, but you just won't see it.
I'm sure the Department of Defense is watching everything you do.
And the truth is, yeah. I have, you know, on your website, you can see who's watching you.
Yep. I'm sure they're there often. Right.
Yeah, they are.
Hold on, John.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, well, be right back. It's probably not hard for you to understand, those of you listening, I hope, how this might apply, assuming that this is, in fact, throughout the universe. Some people would call it the ether. Call it whatever you want. Doesn't matter. It's a universal grid. It's everywhere. It might, John, be able to, and propulsion is not the right word, I don't think, but account for the ability to move larger objects like... discs and other craft at great speeds, almost immeasurable speeds, across vast distances.
Yeah, well, if there's any knowledge that would ever represent that, it would be this. That's for sure. This code unravels. I can actually show you a couple images that you want to point out to your scientist friends.
Okay.
That, I don't know if you want to go back now. Or we could,
sure, we can go back.
All right, go back to the first page, then.
All right, back up to the Coral Castle code page.
Skim down to 53.
And go down to number 53. Hold on a second.
I've had many scientists interested in these hats, like the squares. They're known in the ancients as the magic squares. I heard of them.
The magic square.
Sacred geometry.
Okay, 5-3. 5-3, hold on, let's get down there. What, you know, the last time you were on, it's been a couple of years, your sight is, has come so far, and it was wonderful then. But all people have to do is walk through this, and you've made it, you've just put it on a plate.
But it doesn't seem like they're ready to eat it yet.
No. The people who know, the people who watch you, they're eating it right up. They're not going to tell you, though. They want you to labor in obscurity and think no one's really getting it.
No, it's working.
I don't know. All right, number 53. Got it.
Okay, now pay attention to how those squares form within the independent magnetic structures before, you know, as they bind together.
Oh, yeah.
Now, think if each one of those vortexes, you want to call them, those four, you see them, the four together.
The center square,
you know, has got to have a lot more energy involved than any of the independent vortexes.
Mm-hmm.
Because look at that whole center structure.
Well, it's all geared and pointed, and
it's very opposite. It
coalesces
very,
on that.
It's so interesting. This is where it gets so deep that I don't even, you know, want to attempt to try that. So I would love people that, you know, would know more to explore those aspects, because they're just mind-boggling. That's where the real energy is supposed to be.
And there are Ed's two lines all over the place.
Yeah. I mean, am I delusional? I don't know, man. I mean, is it possible if I am?
if you are, there should be more like you. That's another amazing image.
Yeah, and that's not faked at all. I mean, that is making each connection.
Well, it's what it is.
Right. And that's not coincidence.
It's not dramatic. No dramatic license here.
And then there's my first attempt at a 3D model. It's rough, but it still reveals a lot.
Which number?
That's just moving down a little bit there. Down to 70. See a galaxy, and then you'll see the
dimensional interpretation. Number 7. The famous picture.
These are like machines, like energy machines. If you look at them, like when you were sitting in the core before, mm-hmm. there's these channels that feed the centers. And those channels are what connect into grid formations that communicate with all the other centers.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. And that's what snowflakes do. I ran some experiments with those, and they line up exactly the same way.
They do?
Yeah. So they might not be as individual as people think.
Hmm.
They might not just not be collecting them from the same, you know, they might get so scattered that you don't actually receive or retrieve the samples from the same blanket or fabric of frequency.
Just imagine Ed Leedskalman's mind.
I know.
He's collecting 10 cents from people during the day, showing them these big, beautiful pieces of coral and rock that he'd carved out. And yet, imagine just him lying there at night, and his mind was truly all over the universe.
Yeah, I feel like there's got to be some hidden documents or something under one of those rocks. If he could move the big rocks easily, wouldn't you hide your most prized possessions under one of them?
Sure.
I think there's some kind of vault there in Coral Castle that reveals even more. Because he doesn't show any of this code. He just shows those two magnetic curves, but you see what they blossom into.
He would have written it down. He was...
He just... must have had a, you know, either got thrown away or it's never found yet.
Are we ready for this?
I don't know. I'm starting to wonder that now, actually. At first I was excited about showing everybody. Now I'm kind of going the other way.
Well, we know whose hands it'll fall into.
Yeah. I don't know. All I can do is try, really. That's all I'm trying to do is try to improve things, but it doesn't seem like too many people are
This is a key to the kingdom. if not the key to the kingdom.
That's what I feel, too.
You scroll down, look at some of John's 3D art representing.
Yeah, it's actually, you know, laid out just the same way, like a blueprint, the best I could, keeping it simple at the same time. Because if I make them too complex, then you get lost, you know. You don't see any of the principles I like to display. But in the core, I like to look at those little pegs as blasters, you know, what would blast your neutral particles. The concentrated, where the most concentrated currents are directed.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at these systems, they're brilliantly designed to utilize all the magnets, you know, all the energy is utilized back within itself. Like I said, this is just
There's really no waste.
Right. And that's what, you know, Ed talked a lot about in his book, not wasting magnets.
Really?
Yeah. That you can concentrate them, shift them, and then send them out.
Well, it certainly did. 101, image number 101.
I wish I could. I had better speaking skills. I could do a lot more justice.
You're doing fine.
You couldn't find a worse person for it. It's
no, you're doing just fine.
That's why I try to make up for it in pictures, you know.
101. You see the simplicity of it all.
Yeah, and there's so much to learn from that within it. You know, and each one's different. And each one has something new to offer as far as the insight into the brilliance that's written into those two curves.
And let's you back to...
All of sacred geometry is within that.
Right.
That, to me, that blows my mind.
Go back to John's physical experiments and again take that first picture of little, diminutive Ed Leedskalman turning his wheel. Turning the wheel that connects to the universe, basically.
Yeah.
And collecting 10 cents apiece from tourists in the day.
Well, he might not have been turning it. He might have been able to tune it in.
Yeah, maybe that's just like a big radio knob tuning in a station.
That's what he used to send it out. To control the number of magnets he sent out, he used transmitter tubes. And what I think his homemade transmitter tube is 114. If you look at 114, I didn't realize that until after a long time of rereading, and it finally sank in, and that's what I think this is.
114.
Yeah.
Okay, now, that's one of Ed's that's a transmitting tube? That's
It's a bottle, but I believe it's a homemade transmitting tube using iron wire.
There's one wire down the middle.
Right. That's thicker than the rest.
And it's wrapped.
But he talked, that falls into where there's no electrons. He says if magnets couldn't go through a vacuum, there would be no change inside a vacuum tube.
How many of these bottles are still there?
There's a few of them, but they're pretty mangled.
Were they arrayed in such a way they complemented the wheel somehow? Or were they just...
You know, at the time when I was down there, I didn't even think that there were transmitter tubes, so I didn't look at that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's an amazing story, and you've done something utterly unprecedented, and I'm sure a lot of people are going to be watching tonight, after tonight, and we know who already is watching.
Yeah.
Military there, too, research and development and all that.
Yeah, all those people. That actually keeps me going in some ways, because I know I'm onto something.
Oh, for sure. Someday one of them's going to go to an internet cafe and drop you a nice message.
They might have already done that, I don't know.
Could be.
I'm just trying to help things, really, as my intentions is. I have good intentions with it, really.
Right, of course. You're out of step with the times, my friend. What a bad situation we're in now. What brilliance, what we got tonight in these 2 hours with John DePue is just a little peek at the very fabric of the universe.
It is. We just covered a little tiny bit of it, too, really. It gets so deep that, you know, there's just not enough time.
Right.
So I'd like you to point it to your friends that would know and recognize what it really is. At least give it a chance to work with it a little bit, and then they'd see.
I'll steer the nano people over.
Yeah, tell them to take it serious, because it really is real. It's not a, you know, I'm not faking any of these images or anything.
No, I understand that, my friend. Thank you, John, for being on again. I'm amazed, and I keep it up. And let me know if I can help you.
All right, thanks a lot.
Okay, good night.
All right, good night.
John DePue. Pretty amazing. Coral Castle. Ed Leedskalnin. We'll be back.